What's going on, everyone? This is the Fantasy Playbook Podcast. My name is Kyle Yates, and I'm your host. I can be found on Twitter at KyleYNFL. I am joined today by Andrew Erickson of Fantasy Pros. He can be found on Twitter at AndrewErickson_. Andrew, we are just over 24 hours away from week one kicking off here, and I have this sense of like panic and dread that I've forgotten about a league somewhere. Like, there's just some league that I drafted a long time ago I've forgotten about. I agreed to be in it, and I have no idea. Do you have this? Am I the only one that has like this sense that I've joined too many leagues?
Well, I made sure that this year I had a calendar set up with all the league dates in terms of when the draft was going to be. I've set up an Excel spreadsheet where I keep track of all the leagues. You know, did I submit waivers this week? Did I make trades this week? Did I pick up a defense or kicker this week? You know, just trying to make it so simple and simplify the process. Luckily, I've been doing a lot more best ball than I have in years past and less managed leagues, just because of the industry we work in. It's just so nitty gritty and you're just so busy. It's really hard to set your lineup. And a lot of the time I'm just like, I don't even care. Just like make sure that at least I'm not starting guys that are not hurt or injured. That's kind of what I'm looking for. But I actually have one more league I have to draft in is actually tonight. It's a guillotine league. So it should be interesting. It should be a lot of fun. I've never been in one of those leagues, so I'm looking forward to it.
The amount of times last year, particularly where I got to about like Thursday morning, it was like, ah, shoot, I forgot to set waivers. Like, just completely forgot anything. Like, oh, shoot. Now you're operating from behind the eight ball. That happened a lot last year. So the Excel spreadsheet, probably a very good idea for you this year. All right, let's waste no time. Let's get into the latest news here presented by Sleeper. Download the Sleeper app to stay up to date on all the latest and breaking news from around the NFL. The Patriots signed Laquon Treadwell to their practice squad. Additionally, Bill Belichick told reporters that Ty Montgomery has a shot to play in week one against the Miami Dolphins. It's going to be really interesting to see what this backfield looks like when all three of Damian Harris, Ramondre Stevenson, and Ty Montgomery are healthy. What are your kind of expectations here for this backfield as we move into week one? Do you think that Damian Harris and Ramondre Stevenson both belong in starting lineups this week?
No. I mean, I would try to honestly try to avoid all Patriots players if I have the luxury of doing so. The matchup against the Miami Dolphins, Miami has a really good defense. You know, across the board, up and down, they didn't lose a lot of players from last year. Byron Jones is going to be out, missing the first 4 weeks, but they still have strong depth at cornerback, even besides Xavier Howard. So, I mean, you tell me who's going to lead the team in targets in week one. Like, because they're all healthy, that's the issue, where it's just going to be, you know, everyone gets like five targets. So you're just hoping like you pick the one that scores the one touchdown that Mac Jones throws. The Patriots traditionally play poor in Miami. They traditionally start the season out slow because of, you know, using the first couple of weeks of the regular season as an extension of the preseason. So for me, the only Patriot I'm really interested in starting is Ramondre Stevenson, because if the Patriots fall behind in this game, which I can definitely see happening, you're going to see what happened last year when they played the Dolphins. Damian Harris had 37 rushing yards, and that was it. Right. Like, not, he did see some work in the receiving game last year, but we know that Stevenson is more likely going to take on that role this year. So for me, I'm ranking Stevenson ahead of Harris. I'm trying to sit Harris. He's like a definite sit for me. I don't like the matchup against the Dolphins. I think they're going to face negative game script, like I said. So Ramondre probably the only guy I want to start, and even he's like an RB3 flex play at best.
Right, I think RB3 flex play, because there is still the consideration and conversation that Ty Montgomery could actually be the pass-catching running back in this backfield. We don't know definitively if it's going to be Ramondre Stevenson. There's been talk about it, but Montgomery's still out there. So a situation that I would prefer to avoid if I can. Bills head coach Sean McDermott told reporters that he expects Isaiah McKenzie to be ready to go for week one here on Thursday Night Football. We'll talk about that game in just a little bit. Steelers head coach Mike Tomlin named Mitchell Trubisky as the week one starter against the Cincinnati Bengals, and Van Jefferson did not practice on Thursday, the wide receiver for the Los Angeles Rams, most likely not going to see him out there for tomorrow. ESPN's Jordan Reynan reports Sterling Shepard plans to play against the Titans in week one. You talked about a wide receiver core, you know, in New England that's difficult to project. New York, I have no idea what we're going to see here with this rotation. These wide receivers, Kenny Galladay, Wandale Robinson, Kadarius Toney, if he's healthy, Sterling Shepard, that's going to be an absolute headache. Ken Walker, the running back for the Seattle Seahawks, was sidelined during Tuesday's practice. And Darren Waller, the tight end for the Las Vegas Raiders, said he plans to play in Sunday's week one game against the Chargers, even after missing significant time this preseason and training camp with the hamstring injury or just dealing with a contract. We'll see what happens there. But you drafted Darren Waller. You're going to be starting him here this week. That was the latest news here presented by Sleeper. Download the Sleeper app to stay up to date on all the latest and breaking news this NFL season. All right, Andrew, let's get into some players to stash here as we go into week one. Now, I know that drafts have happened for the most part. We're wrapping things up here. You've got your roster that you are ready to go into week one with. But if you do have some space there, you're undecided on what to do with that final player on your bench. You have two defenses for some reason on your roster. Consider dropping that second defense and picking up one of these players here that we are going to mention ahead of the week one waiver wire rush. We know that week one, week two for waiver wire is critical. It is absolutely important here to get the guys that are breaking out that have the rules that we talked about here on yesterday's podcast that I talked about, the question marks, the players that we still have questions about, the roles. These players will emerge here after week one and we get a little bit of clarity. We want to kind of get ahead of that rush. So what we're going to do here is each present four players here that we want to stash on the bottom of our bench if we can. So I'm going to turn this over to you. Who is that first player that you look at and saying, this is a guy that I want to stash if I can?
I'm going to go with Eno Benjamin, running back for the Arizona Cardinals. And I maybe by your grimace yep. there, your smile, your grin, that you also have him on your list. So I beat you to the punch. I think Eno Benjamin, everything kind of that we've seen leans towards him being the RB2 for the Arizona Cardinals. Now, I still think Darrell Williams may have a potential role if a James Conner injury were to happen. But right now, it looks like Eno Benjamin has the best case of actually gaining his own specific value, where he could be involved while James Conner is healthy. So there's no guarantee James Conner just goes out week one and gets hurt. Like, that's not necessarily a guarantee where, you know, you're looking for not just roles of players, but, you know, if Eno Benjamin goes out and, like, scores fantasy points, then people are just going to be naturally inclined to want to pick him up. Like, people are attracted to people that are players that score fantasy points. And Eno Benjamin has a path in this particular game against the Kansas City Chiefs to score a lot of fantasy points. The Cardinals are dealing with a bunch of injuries to a lot of their receivers. You know, Hopkins isn't going to play. Rondale Moore is hurt. Zach Ertz is hurt. So you're looking at Eno Benjamin, who profiles as a pass-catching back out of the running backfield. He could have a serviceable game here where he does catch a couple passes and he is kind of working in tandem with James Conner. So I think that he has some standalone value and also could see an increased role should James Conner get hurt. Like, we're going to see some running backs go down, unfortunately, because it hasn't happened yet. And it's like, oh yeah, everyone's running backs are healthy till week one happens. And then like five guys are going to get hurt. So I think really the important thing too is to just roster running backs, because those are the guys we see their value spike the most because of an injury. Not necessarily the case with a wide receiver. You know, we don't see, okay, you're a wide receiver two, wide receiver one gets hurt. You don't immediately just step in and become, okay, now he's a wide receiver one. Like, that doesn't happen. But running back, because it's so volume driven, we see that happen with these running backs. So Eno Benjamin kind of falls into that list. I know that I've picked him up in a couple leagues where, you know, maybe I drafted like a Jeff Wilson type of player and I kind of looked at Jeff Wilson versus Eno Benjamin. I'm like, you know what? I think Benjamin has a little bit more juice and upside, and I think maybe long-term. I mean, Jeff Wilson, he's a Jag. Like, we know he's a Sky. Yep. I know he's the number two right now, but, you know, we could see another running back in the 49. I mean, who knows
how the 49 stack. Jordan Mason will be the hot like week one waiver wire
at. Yep. Exactly. So I feel a little bit more clear about Benjamin's situation, so that's where I lean towards him.
I had Eno Benjamin on the list as well. I've been talking about Benjamin all offseason here, saying like, and I don't know if you've been on that bandwagon as well, but saying there's an opportunity here for him to carve out that RB2 role here, not necessarily stepping into exactly the workload that we saw from Chase Edmonds last year, but at least to have enough to provide some standalone value in bye weeks. But then the upside, if something does happen to James Conner again here in Arizona, and you look at Conner, they tried to increase the workload last year and it didn't work. It's just Conner, the durability is a concern when you increase that workload. So does Arizona really want to involve multiple running backs here alongside Conner? And I think that could be the case. Benjamin, Darrell Williams, we don't have the clarity yet if it is officially Benjamin. And I think that's why he's only rostered in 8% of Yahoo leagues, but it is something where he's out there in the vast majority of leagues. Go scoop him up if you have the opportunity, because I do think that we could get past week one in a very, very, you know, this game's going to have fireworks. It's a very high over-under. We're going to see points go up on the board. We could see Eno Benjamin carve out a significant opportunity here and put up some fantasy points in week one. So Eno Benjamin on my list as well. Now I'm officially concerned, officially worried that we are only going to have four players. So let's turn it back over to you. Who is that second player that you're looking to stash?
All right. So my second player here is Sony Michel for the Los Angeles Chargers. He was added late after being cut from the Miami Dolphins. And I mean, I think that he's going to be the RB2 in this backfield behind Austin Eckler. I think that they wanted to give the opportunities to Isaiah Spiller, Josh Kelly, Larry Roundtree, like someone to step up and take on that role, and no one did it. Like nobody stepped up and took on the role, at least during the preseason. They didn't feel confident that any of these guys could really step in if Eckler were to get hurt, or just to give Eckler a break, because that's what they've been trying to do ever since Melvin Gordon left. It's like, all right, we got to find a way to kind of ease off Eckler's workload to make sure he lasts, because this is a team with Super Bowl aspirations. Like, they know Eckler's an integral part, and they definitely want to reduce his snaps and touches in between the 20s. Like, in the red zone, I still think Austin Eckler is going to be the guy, but I think now you're seeing a potential, okay, Sony Michel could potentially work in on certain drives, and he's a guy that last year we saw him in a bell cow role with the Rams, and he was top five in a lot of different categories in terms of snaps, rushing attempts, rushing yards over the last 6 weeks of the season. So Sony Michel, former first-round pick, you know, not this, you know, super explosive running back. Still can't believe the Patriots drafted him over Nick Chubb, but hey, I digress. I think that he can fill in that RB2 role that they've been looking for, and he plays in the Chargers offense. So if Eckler gets hurt, okay, if you see Michelle's value skyrocket in that capacity, but potentially if he is working, you know, seeing 10 to 15 touches, they're playing with a positive game script, some against some of these worst teams, you could see Michelle, hey, let's give it to Michelle. He'll grind out some yards in the fourth quarter and potentially give you some RB3 flex value.
So Sony Michel was someone that I considered. I did not put him down here as one of my four players, but he is someone that I considered because of the reasons that you mentioned. I do think that eventually, as the season moves along, we're going to see Sony Michel carve out that RB2 role. I don't know if, with him being added this late, I don't know if he's going to be given that opportunity right out of the gate, right? I think this is going to be a situation where it's Joshua Kelly here in week one, maybe week two, and then by that point, maybe we start to see Sony Michel. So he was someone that for these week one players to stash, I'm looking at the guys who are going to come out and really hit right away. But if we're talking about a deeper league, somewhere where you have the ability to stash Sony Michel for a couple of weeks to be able to get that payoff down the road, I absolutely agree with that. For me, I'll go back to Arizona here. I will go with Rondale Moore. I know you mentioned the injury here. He hopeful for Sunday. He sounds like he's going to be out there. Only 28% rostered in Yahoo leagues, and that was incredibly surprising to me for Rondale Moore, for the player who's stepping into the vacated Christian Kirk role here in this Arizona offense. We talked about this game against Kansas City. There are going to be points going up on the board. Marquise Brown, AJ Green, they can't get all of it. Zach Ertz, day-to-day, might not be out there for week one. So as we look at Rondale Moore, I think the opportunity is there for him to have a significant role in this offense and to be out there right away and producing in a big way while DeAndre Hopkins is out. So I had to look at Yahoo's, percentage, roster percentages here this morning, and Rondale Moore at 28% was really, really surprising to me. So I know that he is out there in a lot of leagues for people that are listening here. Still someone that I think you should have on your roster regardless, but yet still a player to stash, because I think he's going to be a really, really hot waiver wire ad in week one if he does perform the way that I think he can here in this game against Kansas City. All right, let's turn it back over to you here, your third player to stash.
All right, so this is for people that, you know, went late round tight end. So you're looking at, okay, maybe you have two tight ends on your roster. You're trying to figure out, okay, I'm going to stream the position this year. I punted it. You know, who's going to be my guy? Who's going to be my Dawson Knox, basically, that you just kind of pick up and you just ride throughout the year? And someone that I think I drafted probably like seven times yesterday as I was wrapping up a bunch of best ball drafts that went from slow drafts to 10-minute drafts very, very rapidly. Mo Alie-Cox for the Indianapolis Colts. I think that the debate all summer long has been, oh, who's the number two? Is it Paris Campbell? Is it Alec Pierce? Like, one week it's one guy, the next week it's the other guy. And for me, it's like, how are you winning if you get that argument right? Like, okay, let's say it is Paris Campbell. Does that make a difference in your lineup that you have the Colts number two wide receiver and he's like third in targets or four? Like, I don't care. Like, if you're right, that doesn't really matter to me. But let's say you're right about Mo Alie-Cox, like taking on a bigger role as the number two pass catcher on this Colts offense. Like, that's a formula where if you're right about that, you're actually benefiting in your fantasy lineup because you now have a starter that you can use as opposed to, okay, Campbell or Pierce is the number two. Okay, you still can't use them because they're just like wide receiver threes/fours. Right. Like, that doesn't benefit your lineup. Whereas Alie-Cox, if he hits in week one, I mean, you could definitely see him being a guy that you could ride out for the rest of the season. They paid him a ton of money. Jack Doyle is gone. He's making more money than the Colts' top three wide receivers combined. And their highest paid wide receiver is Ashton Doolin. Not even Michael Pittman because they're all in rookie contracts for the most part. So I think Mo Alie-Cox, you know, he kind of fits that mold of an older tight end. You know, we've got the basketball pedigree, you know, massive size, and he's flashed. Like every time it seems like he's gotten opportunities to start, gotten targets, he's been efficient with them. He has red zone prowess. And look, the only thing that I can envision holding Michael Pittman back this year is if Matt Ryan just doesn't favor him in the touchdown department. Like we've seen Matt Ryan be very selective for some reason with certain guys. It's like, Julio, not throwing you the ball in the red zone. It's just not happening. And that was always frustrating. And if Michael Pittman falls into that category, okay, then who is going to score the receiving touchdowns? My bet would be on Mo Alie-Cox being that next guy behind Michael Pittman as the favorite to lead the Colts in receiving touchdowns. So I think that, you know, when we talk about tight ends, if he's on the field playing an every down snap role, like for the Colts, which is what we did during the preseason, and that carries over to the regular season, Mo Alie-Cox is going to be a tight end to be a force with this year. So I'm trying to get ahead of it. If I, you know, have a fringy tight end, I took a tight end last, I'm trying to find a way to just add Mo Alie-Cox for free now so that I could potentially use him throughout the rest of the year.
I love the call here because you look at Mo Alie-Cox and the opportunity. Who else in this tight end room is going to be pushing for snaps, right? It's Jelani Woods, but Jelani Woods is super, super raw. I like him down the road, but like this dude ain't making an impact here anytime soon for the Colts. And then Kylan Grant's it. Like it's Mo Alie-Cox is going to be the starting tight end for this offense. And you didn't even mention week one, they go up against Houston. And Houston, now I know that we can't just completely copy and paste what happened last year because defenses change and everything like that. They add players and free agents and stuff like that. Houston was abysmal against opposing tight ends last season. So we look at Mo Alie-Cox here, the opportunity for him to hit right in week one, because that's what you're looking for. If you have these late round tight ends, these players that you think could eventually work their way, if they have a tough week one matchup, they're not going to be someone that you're willing to add here. But Mo Alie-Cox could come out, score a touchdown, score two touchdowns here against Houston in week one and absolutely be a hot waiver wire ad. That is someone that you want to get ahead of. I love the call there with Mo Alie-Cox, the tight end for the Indianapolis Colts. I will go here to the running back position. Let's go full PPR people here. Amir Abdullah, the running back for the Las Vegas Raiders in a full PPR format is really intriguing to me. We've heard a lot of buzz already this offseason, Josh McDaniels wanting to bring in kind of that committee approach. That's why Josh Jacobs was a risky pick. Zamir White, I think, is more of a 2023 selection here, someone that you're looking at down the road. But Amir Abdullah could step into the vacated James White role, right? That James White role here in the Las Vegas offense that came from New England. And we've seen Abdullah last year when he stepped in Carolina was actually pretty productive as a pass catcher out of the backfield. He has his shortcomings. He is not going to live up to the player that we thought he was going to be coming out of college, but he can fill that kind of role as a pass catching complement here for Derek Carr. So someone who is on the field in third downs, I know there's some conversation that it could be a split between him and Brandon Bolden. I think Abdullah is more talented than Brandon Bolden. So I think Bolden doesn't bring you much after the catch. I think Abdullah can bring you some after the catch there. So someone that I wouldn't be surprised. He gets five targets here in week one and suddenly in full PPR formats is someone that does move up the waiver wire priority list. That's someone that I want to get ahead of there. Only 7% rostered in Yahoo League. So someone that absolutely is worth the flyer here to take that shot on if you got the space in a full PPR format. All right, let's turn it back over to you here. Your final player to stash going into week one.
Yeah, for me, it's KJ Osborne for the Minnesota Vikings wide receiver. And I don't get why no one wants to draft this guy. Like, I'm so confused why he's available. Like, last time I checked, he was sub 10% in a lot of Yahoo leagues. And this is like the prototypical perfect bench wide receiver because you don't plan on starting him week one. You know, that's one of the things I always get tilted about. You have all these bench wide receivers, they keep going off, and you're like, I don't know where to start these guys. Like, Osborne, you know, okay, you can start him in a pinch, you know, if you have bye weeks or whatever, like you can start him in a pinch. He's a wide receiver three on a good offense. And we've seen him be productive even when Adam Thielen and Justin Jefferson have been healthy. Last year, KJ Osborne was the hot waiver wire pickup after week one because he produced right out of the gates. And why can't that happen again this year? If anything, he's more likely to produce in an offense that caters more towards three wide receiver sets. We're going to throw the ball a little bit more. We've seen this from the Sean McVay offense where they just do three wide receivers. Like they do the three same guys. And you also have the additional intrinsic upside of Adam Thielen, 32 years old. What if he breaks down again? He gets hurt again. Okay, now you're putting KJ Osborne into the number two role. So not only is he giving you some steady production and some depth on your roster right now in his current situation, there's room to grow with his role and with his production as the season goes on. So those are the exact type of players, the archetype of player that I'm looking for to stash on my bench. So I don't get why Osborne's available. He's not available in my leagues because he's on all my rosters. So I think that he's a really great pickup.
Yeah, I've scooped him up in a lot of different places as well. Only 11% rostered in Yahoo leagues. And I think you and I might make up like 5% of that. So KJ Osborne, really surprising that he is available in that many leagues here because of the reasons that you mentioned. Like, the opportunity is there. This is not the same Minnesota Vikings offense that we saw last year. And even if it was, Osborne had value last year as a bench player that had upside if Adam Thielen. And I think we just have to, at this point, acknowledge that Thielen's going to miss time. Like, he's going to be productive when he's on the field, but at this stage of his career, he's going to miss time. And that is going to vault KJ Osborne potentially up into the top 30 conversation when Thielen does miss time. So KJ Osborne, there's someone that needs to be rostered everywhere if you can. I'll throw up my last guy here. He's 11% rostered in Yahoo leagues as well. Wide receiver, NFC North wide receiver. I will go Christian Watson here, though. Christian Watson, the wide receiver for the Green Bay Packers, rookie wide receiver out of North Dakota State. Alan Lazard dealing with an undisclosed injury, his week one status kind of up in the air right now. And even if we knew that Alan Lazard was playing, I don't know what's going to happen after Alan Lazard in this wide receiver core. Like, is it going to be Sammy? Are we going to have the Sammy Watkins week one blow up performance? I really hope that we don't. Randall Cobb, like Romeo Doubs was the hot name there. But Christian Watson is absolutely a freak athlete. He's got some development left to do. He's got some, you know, things that he needs to work on to become a well-rounded receiver, but the athleticism is there. So I think Watson is someone that if I've got the space, I just want to add him to the roster and see what happens here in week one. See if I can really just see if he hits here with Alan Lazard potentially missing. And if he does get the playing time, if Aaron Rodgers is feeding him the ball, because again, you look at the wide receiver core, you got a ton of question marks. Robert Tonyan, is he out there week one? I don't know definitively yet. Then it's Aaron Jones and AJ Dillon. The running backs are really the only proven safe guaranteed plays in week one. After that, it's a ton up in the air. So I want to see how things shake out here with this offense, because someone is going to break out. Someone is going to produce in this wide receiver core. I like the athleticism and talent of Christian Watson there to be the one to emerge there. So any thoughts on Christian Watson before we wrap things up here?
Yeah, no, I'm glad you threw it to me. I definitely have some thought. I think it's like the perfect like lottery ticket type of move where, because Christian Watson's value right now is basically like nothing. Like, it's like rock bottom because he didn't have the Romeo Doubs hype from the preseason. Like, he's been hurt this entire time. But if Christian Watson is as good as the Packers thought he was when he was coming out, this guy has, you know, he's been injured. Like, he hasn't shown any chemistry with Aaron Rodgers. We haven't seen him. But that's why if he just goes off, all he has to do is catch like one, if he catches one long touchdown, which you're fast, you can beat a defensive back. Like, that's in his range of his value could just absolutely skyrocket. So you don't even have to be in on Christian Watson. You could just try to trade him after he has this massive game with Lazard out of the lineup, because people will be like, oh, well, this is the next great thing. Then you could try to sell high on Christian Watson. You know, let's say, you know, if he's really not playing a full-time role and people just look at the box score. Oh, but, and then if he doesn't do anything, then you just cut him and it's easy to move on. Lazard comes back in the lineup. He's the wide receiver 4 on the team. And then you move on. So it really helps you kind of dictate your lineup moving forward, that you can either have a potential like great value with Christian Watson that you can then sell off. You can keep him, you can do whatever, or you can just then move on from him immediately, because you're going to know, like you said, you want to wait and see, and you want to see how it plays out with these guys. And the fact that Lazard may not play or may not go, that's just kind of like an inkling. It's like, hey, like, you know, maybe you should add Christian Watson, because it's like, if he plays ahead of Romeo Doubs, okay, like, he could make some noise as a super freaky athlete, like you mentioned.
Yeah, I think what we're going to see from Green Bay is just get the ball in his hands, right? Like, jet sweeps, those, you know, touch passes, stuff like that. Just get the ball in his hands, let him create. I think there's going to be an opportunity here for him in week one. We'll see how it all plays out. All right, let's talk about the Thursday night football game. I can't believe that we are now into the routine of actually getting to talk about actual NFL games that are going to be happening. All right, the Thursday night football preview here, Rams versus Bills. This has a 51.5 over under Buffalo with a 26.75 team implied point total. Rams with 24.75. Let's talk about a few things here. The quarterback position, like Josh Allen, Matthew Stafford, you drafted them highly. You're going to be starting them. You draft with them within the top 12 quarterbacks. You're starting them there. Let's talk about the Rams backfield though, Andrew. What are we doing here with the Rams backfield? Cam Akers, Daryl Henderson, Kyron Williams, they're all going to be healthy here. Are you starting Cam Akers if you have the choice?
Yeah, I'm going to start Cam Akers, because every time Cam Akers plays, he gets volume. And volume matters more to me than efficiency. So I'm gonna go with what Sean McVay has shown on the field, not what he says, because coaches lie all the time. And whenever Cam Akers has been healthy, he gets 20 touches per game, and like the Rams RB1 does usually. So that's what I'm going to go with. I like him as an RB2 this week. There are a couple other running backs that you may have gotten later in drafts that I do like a little bit more, like Miles Sanders, Antonio Gibson. I do like those guys a little bit more than Cam Akers. So if you have some luxury at running back, then I'm fine if you want to play somebody else over Akers. Because I do agree that there is some ambiguity with the situation. But, I mean, if you draft him as your RB2, I'm going to start him as my RB2.
Yeah, I think in week one, it's don't get too cute, right? You play the guys that you drafted highly. You play the guys that you drafted where you drafted them. But looking at the situation here for Cam Akers, there is some ambiguity. It is a tougher matchup, too. Buffalo on the ground is a really, really solid run defense. So I think there's enough there where Cam Akers as a low-end RB2 for me. I do like Miles Sanders and Antonio Gibson with the matchups that they have, Detroit and Jacksonville there. So I think those are two players that you could consider. It's all relative on the players that you have on your roster, but Cam Akers as a low-end RB2 for me. The wide receivers, we got Stephon Diggs, Allen Robinson, Cooper Kupp, Gabriel Davis. We're starting all of them. Is Isaiah McKenzie, if you do have him, is Isaiah McKenzie, I think he could have been someone that we talked about as a player to stash. Is he someone that you're considering here in a deeper format?
Yeah, no, he actually was. He was the fifth player on my list. Okay. We needed to add more players in, and I wasn't actually sure like how low rostered he is. I know that he's definitely gotten some steam because of the role that he plays in the Bills' offense. I'm gonna probably say no to starting him. I think that maybe in a flex in some deeper formats, maybe you could start him, but I don't want to get too carried away and get too cute with this because you look at more of the more established guys on the Bills. You have Diggs. You have Dawson Knox, you have Gabriel Davis. Like, those guys should all be running ahead of Isaiah McKenzie. You know, is it going to be McKenzie playing all the snaps from the slot? Like, we know that he's the starter, but Jameson Crowder's still, like, healthy. Yep. And like, if Jameson Crowder was made inactive, okay, like, maybe that would change my perception a little bit, because I know McKenzie's going to get all the slot snaps. But, you know, considering he's a smaller player, you know, he's not someone that they can necessarily – he's been banged up a little bit so far kind of entering this game. He's healthy and he's going to play, but you know, how many touches are they really going to try to get this guy? I think it's it's an approach where you can wait and see. I don't think you need to jam in Isaiah McKenzie into your lineups. Now, I do like his matchup in the slot against Troy Hill, who's just a older corner that is way past his prime at 32 years old. So, and I don't think we're going to see like a lot of Jalen Ramsey on Isaiah McKenzie. So I could see him being like efficient with the targets he gets. But I mean, I probably more like envision like, hey, like 4 catches for 40 yards on 6 targets. Like, okay, like 10 PPR points. Like, oh, like cool. Like solid, but not like, oh my God, why did I bench Isaiah McKenzie? Again, if he scores the touchdown, okay, maybe you'll regret that. But I think that keeping him on your bench and making sure he's at least not on your waiver wire, I think is the move here.
Yeah, so we look at Isaiah McKenzie, actually really surprising, 53% rostered in Yahoo leagues.
Yeah.
So Rondale Moore at 28% and KJ Osborne at 11%, and then we got Isaiah McKenzie at 53%. All right, everyone's full sending it with Isaiah McKenzie there. I think he is someone based on where you drafted him, based on his ADP, you can let sit on your bench. You've got other options there. You mentioned, you know, he's kind of banged up here going into week one. I would just prefer to wait and see before we confidently plug him into the lineup. Everyone else, though, you're starting. Which Bills running back are you starting here if you were forced to choose one?
Yeah, if you're four, that's how it really feels. Like, you feel like you have to start someone. I mean, it would be Devin Singletary, just because I feel the most confident about his role on the offense. I think that's really a big takeaway that I'm trying to focus on for week one is ask yourself, do you know the player's role on their offense? If the answer is no, don't start them. Like, that's just going into it way too blind. You're getting cute. You're trying to project, oh, this is what his role is going to be. Unless you really feel confident about it, I would probably shy away. I know Devin Singletary is the lead back on early downs, and he could see some work in the passing game on early downs as well. But I don't know if he's going to be used on third down. I don't know if he's going to be used at the goal line. So there are question marks with Singletary, but the fact that he probably is the favorite to lead the team in total touches out of the backfield, I would put him in the RB3 conversation. The matchup's not great against the Rams' defensive front. The Bills don't have this juggernaut of an offensive line. And although Devin Singletary can break tackles, he's not the super explosive runner that's going to just rip off an 80-yard touchdown. Not very likely to happen. And there is the concern of Zach Moss potentially at the goal line acting as a touchdown vulture. Now, I'm never going to start a player because I think Zach Moss might score a touchdown. Like, that's not going to be in my... I'm not going to do that. I'm going to chase the volume, not necessarily who's getting these red zone opportunities, because Singletary could take in a carry from the 10-yard line versus Moss taking in the carries from inside the 5. So Singletary for me, I believe I have him ranked. So I have him ranked as RB31. So he's an RB3 for me. And in most case scenarios, I probably need to start a receiver in the flex over him. You know, someone that probably offers a little bit more upside. And I think it's okay to be, all right, you know, let's kind of see this backfield play out a little bit more. Again, going back to, I know about Devin Singletary's role in this offense, and just based on the matchup and based on his role, it's not like, oh yeah, this is a smash spot for Devin Singletary. Yeah. Like, I got to fire him up. Not really the case here. And I think in most cases where you drafted Singletary, like, maybe you have to start him as your RB2 if you went late round or kind of like a zero RB approach. But I know I have Singletary in a couple spots, and I have other players I can use this week.
Yeah, I have Singletary in a couple spots as well, and I'm not considering playing him here just because he's a bench guy, right? Someone that could potentially, you know, work his way into my starting lineup, a guy that I can play in bye weeks. But here in week one, I've got other options that I can turn to. Singletary would be the answer, though, if I were forced to start a Bills running back, which thankfully no one is forcing us to.
That kind of answers the question where it's like, if you're forced to play one,
right,
which
exactly. if I tee up a question like that, which forced to, we pretty much know the answer is you shouldn't be playing any of them. All right, looking at the Thursday Night Football matchup, let's talk about the Playbooks picks presented by PrizePicks here. Head over to PrizePicks.com, sign up with the code FFPlaybook to get a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 here. Join me in playing some prize picks over unders here this season. All right, we look at the, I'm going to present two players here that I am personally investing in. So we got 51.5 over under here. We're expecting some points up on the board. Allen Robinson with a 57.5 receiving yard line here. No Tre'Davious White in this matchup. You're looking at Kaiir Elam, the rookie corner out of Florida, Dane Jackson, Taron Johnson here. I'm going to take the over here with Allen Robinson over 57.5. No Van Jefferson as well. I think that he easily clears this. My premium projections have him clearing this mark as well. And then Gabriel Davis on the other side of the ball. Two players that I cannot wait to see fantasy Twitter's reaction, right? Allen Robinson, Gabe Davis tomorrow night is going to be must witness on Twitter. 56.5 receiving yards is his line. I will take the over here as well. I do not think Buffalo is going to be able to run the ball effectively. We talked about that with Singletary here. I think they're going to have to turn to the air game here. All it takes is one deep shot for Davis to clear that line, and my premium projections have him projected over as well. So Gabriel Davis, 56.5 receiving yards. Allen Robinson, 57.5. I'll take the over on both of those. Go to prizepicks.com, sign up with the code FFPlaybook to get a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. All right, Andrew, thank you so much for carving some time out here in the chaos that is week one. We didn't have a work day on Monday, but yet we still have the same amount of work that we have to do leading up to week one. So I appreciate you carving some time out here. Why don't you let everyone know what you got going on over at Fantasy Pros this season?
Yeah, so thanks again, Kyle, for having me on. So at Fantasy Pros this season, I'm going to be working on a usage report, kind of talking about looking at route participation of certain players, looking at high-value touches, air yards, you know, how often are certain running backs getting used at the goal line, inside the 5-yard line, inside the 10-yard line, end zone targets, all that good jazz. That's what I did a lot at PFF, and I enjoyed doing it, so I'm kind of carrying it over. D-Bro is taking over the primer duties, so I'll let him do his thing. I got the easier job, so I'm doing some more specific niche categories, not necessarily hitting on every single player that exists in the football universe. So we'll let D-Bro deal with that. And I'm also going to be doing, you know, prop content, DFS content, probably more on my Twitter, and also just kind of factoring to my rankings. Basically, I have an article every week that comes out kind of like talking about what goes into the rankings. Basically, like, how the sausage is made is the way, right, I like to describe it, behind the rankings, and kind of just hitting on different nuggets, you know, hitting on, hey, I like this prop here. Hey, I think this guy's a value in DFS. Hey, I think this is a guy you should sit. Because I have to do all that type of preparation for the different podcast shows that I'm on, doing start sit, doing buy low, sell high, doing a matchups column at the end of the week with all of the guys on Fridays. So there's preparation that goes into it. So I'm like, I'm not going to just keep all this preparation to myself. Like, I want to get it out to the universe for people to see, because I'm going to have it anyway. And part of my process, it involves a lot of writing anyway, just kind of how I retain information. So I'm going to make sure I try to get that out to the public. So I'll be on Twitter. It'll be at fantasypros.com through all my article content. And I'm looking forward to it. I mean, I don't know about you, Kyle, but this week has gone by so slow compared to every other week, basically since the Super Bowl. Like, every week is like flown by. And then this week I'm like, how is it only Wednesday? It's because we're looking forward to something happening. That's why it's going so slow. I can't take it, but I'm just so excited.
I am extremely excited as well. I cannot wait for tomorrow here. Watching some Ramsville, and this is going to be a phenomenal game too, right? This is going to be so much fun to watch. I am looking forward to it. All right. Remember to head over to prizepicks.com, sign up with the code FFPlaybook for a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Get involved in some player props this season. Have a ton of fun here. I'm looking forward to spending a lot of time in PrizePicks this season. All right, that'll do it. For Andrew Erickson, I'm Kyle Yates, and we'll see you next time. We'll be right back.